Digital Now,
the podcast for digital transformation. In today's episode, we explore customer excellence as a concept with strategic potential that goes beyond being just a corporate buzzword for companies in the pharma and life sciences. Through the lens of process, technology, data, and people, we discuss how breaking down silos, embracing omni-channel strategy, utilizing a 360-degree customer view through data, and driving change management are essential for success. While emerging trends like AI are creating exciting new opportunities, the true impact is realized through careful execution and thoughtful strategy. Our expert guests, Fabienne Hylis and Gregory van Kiersbilk, offer their insights into navigating the complex challenges of regulatory constraints, advanced data management, and the role of new technologies.
So yeah, welcome everyone to this podcast. So my name is Eddie Peters. I'm a CX consultant at Valantic. And today we are joined by two colleagues, Fabienne and Gregory, to talk about a very interesting topic about customer excellence within pharma. So Gregory and Fabienne, I obviously already know you, but maybe you can also shortly introduce yourself for the audience. So ladies first, I would say.
Thank you, Eddie. Hi, I'm Fabienne. I'm the CX lead in Valantic Belgium, and usually working on digital transformation projects in the pharma industry.
And now, Gregory, I lead the pharma and life sciences practice at Valantic, and I am joining, I joined Valantic Belgium after about 20 years working in the pharmaceutical industry.
Okay, thank you and welcome both. So let's dive into the topic of today. So we're talking about customer excellence in pharma. Before diving in, of course, it's always good to start with a definition. So I want to kick it off and maybe define for the audience what we actually mean or see as customer excellence.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one because customer excellence might not be the word or the buzzword that you usually hear. So I think it makes very much sense to talk about customer excellence and what we mean by customer excellence. And what we mean by customer excellence, I think, is aligning the internal processes, the technology, the people, the data, to create and translate that into an outstanding external experience for our customers. And that's where this customer excellence comes together, because it means operational excellence internally when the different teams work together. And by doing that, they create this this outstanding customer experience externally. So it's a bit like a perfect storm, if you will. It is, how can the pharma company align in such a good way people, process, technology, and data so that everything comes together and the omnichannel strategy is the focus? We concentrate on making digital and face-to-face, the whole omnichannel, come together in that perfect alignment internally so that our customers benefit from it.
Very clear. Anything to add from your side?
Like Fabienne said, customer excellence is probably a term that is not so familiar yet in the market. I mean, most companies are now well familiar with Salesforce excellence. Since many years, many companies in pharma and other industries have invested in providing their field forces, their sales organizations with the tools, the capabilities, even the education to improve overall sales capabilities. We've seen an evolution towards broader commercial excellence, as in including marketing, service, and any other customer-focusing department. But where we see the next level in this trend is really to focus around the customer and less around internal processes or around the product, meaning that all processes, activity that the organization does should happen and centered around the customer.
Okay. And that's probably also, we see pharma is always lagging a bit behind sometimes industry-wise, where you see also both that the pharma industry still needs some ground to cover, right? And need to invest in this.
Yep.
So, yeah, in from an investment standpoint, how do you see that actually progressing then in the pharma? Because yeah, putting the customer in the center, it does seem a bit like a no-brainer. Where do they still need to basically evolve?
And I think when you say that, is there a need for the pharma companies to invest in customer excellence? I said, as you said, Eddie, that it's a no-brainer. Why shouldn't they invest? It's been years we're talking about customer experience, digital transformation, omnichannel strategies. These are all the words that go around. It's all about putting the customer in the center. And I mean, I personally, working for pharma, but working for other industries in the past, for 10 years, it's all about the right content through the right channel, at the right time, to the right customer. And that doesn't make a difference if you are in pharma or if you are in another industry. It's all about the customer in the center. Now, customer excellence, as we said, might be a bit more tricky in the pharma industry because, of course, we're looking at historically regulated industries where teams work in silos, where medical, service, commercial, and marketing are not always aligned around the customers. And I suppose we will come back to that, but I really think that one common objective of all the teams should be this customer-centered approach. And if this shift happens in the future, then we can come to something that is much simpler, where we look at the real data, where we look at processes that are aligned internally, and also where the maturity, the digital maturity of pharma companies can grow going through this exercise of aligning the internal processes with the technology, with the people and with the data, as we said. So moving away from one size fits all, as you said, no brainer. It's not as easy as it sounds, unfortunately. But I think if we try to keep it simple, aligning everybody around the same goal, then we have a chance to move in the right direction.
Is it more than just aligning to that same goal? Because you touch upon a critical aspect like these so-called company silos that we also see within pharma, within simple already the medical and the commercial side. That is split, but also sometimes you have the feeling that the compliance and the regulatory lives a bit on an island. Marketing goes, again, a different direction. Is there, let's say, a golden bullet or an approach how like pharma companies could break down these silos? What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, the question to ask is also, who is the customer? So you have different types of what you could consider the customer to pharmaceutical companies. You have the HCP, the specialist, the key opinion leader, more to the sales and the medical organization. You have patients and patient organizations and patient support groups to the patient engagement organization. You have the payers, whether it's in Europe, the state, whether it's in the US, insurance companies, to the market access organization. So there's different types of customers, even for a single pharmaceutical company, and they all have different needs. And that already is a challenge. How do you become customer-centric if you have different types of customers with different types of needs? But even within a single customer type, let's take the healthcare professional, there as well, there is silos in a sense that typically you have the sales organization who is focusing on getting face time with these people, trying to convince them to move them up the adoption ladder through key messages. You have the marketing organization who works more on their end, more on mass communication, brand awareness. And then you have the medical organization who is much more focused on the scientific information to be shared with the HCPs. And there is still, in many cases, no real alignment, not even awareness about what's happening in each of those domains, for the same customer. And so there is a need for that general awareness that working together around the same customer, knowing what one is doing with that same customer, to become truly customer-centric.
Maybe Fabien, from your omnichannel experience, how do you look at that statement from Gregory? Because yeah, knowing you've been working a lot about marketing campaigns and customer journeys, you've touched on all these stakeholders as well in within the organization. So how do you see that sometimes coming up or clashing in the specific marketing message?
Yeah, it's obviously clashing, as you say. We see often that the same customer receives different messages coming from medical, coming from commercial, different messages, and I mean different in the same channel. You might imagine an email from with a medical message coming to the healthcare professional, and a day later, maybe some communication about an event, a promotional event. So that's a clear view or clear statement that these silos exist, and that those silos are reflecting on how the communication works towards the customer. How do we break down these silos? I mean, that's one thing. We can set up the perfect process. We can use outstanding, innovative technology that is connected. We can have people trained to use the technology and the data. I think all this needs to work in alignment. And I might even say or think, I think that data could be a great enabler to break down those silos. That imagine if the different teams would look at the same customer data that they have, that they would use the technology and the AI maybe in the future to have this customer-centric approach, and that everybody sees actually what communication the healthcare professional or even the patient in the future has received from that company and is aligned around that same data. And I think that's the optimum human-centered approach that pharma companies need to reach. And it comes to simplifying from all going in the same direction but not being aligned to looking at the same human-centered data, customer 360 view, and just communicating internally about who is going to give which message on the customer and what is the preferred channel of the customer and how should we continue evolve the communication with that same customer.
Yeah, I fully follow you, Fabien, on that data and that 360 degree view of the customer is the most critical enabler to becoming customer centric. It's so important that everybody in the organization knows all the information available about that customer to be able to be seen towards the customer as one company and not as different companies, each with their own objective, each with their own message. You should always be able to continue the conversation with a customer where another colleague of you have left off last time, continue to resolve a problem that another colleague was initiating to resolve, to be seen as one single company. To come back to what you said, that you see different or you get different messages from the same company, I think we can all think of examples, even worse, where you're currently having an issue with a product that you buy, you reach out to the company and you have a support issue with it, but at the same time you receive an email from that same company trying to sell you more product. Why would you even do that if you're unhappy? And that is because they don't know about each other. That's because they don't use that information to have a single conversation. So having that one view of the customer across the organization for everyone, being able to use that information to the advantage of the customer, but also to the company advantage to be able to provide the best possible service, that can only be done with that 360-degree view of the customer.
And I would even add to that, Eddie, you said, have a customer journey, you might have an automated campaign even that is started by the marketing team. If you look at that customer journey, and that customer journey is created by one single team, let's say marketing, they only take, and in the ideal case, they take the preferred channel, they look at the real-time data, they go back in time, see also in the CRM, what was the last face-to-face interaction, what was the last remote call, etc. And they consider all this information. But at the end, the journey is a push communication that goes towards the customer. And the journey stays in that silo because we have different maturity levels, even different maturity levels in the team. So even if one team is doing it right, if they don't connect with what another team might be doing, we're still not reaching this customer excellence level that we would like to reach.
Yeah, good point that you raise, because mostly these pharma companies are multinational companies, which have a lot of different geographical affiliates, but also different business units with different maturities or different growth in numbers that they have. So maybe if we make the bridge to technology in this whole story, how do you see, for instance, CRM? You touched already on CRM as an aspect. How do you see that playing a role across, let's say, a whole organization?
Yeah. Well, in the context of aiming to standardize as a enabler to, or aiming to standardize process as an enabler to move forward in that customer centricity, I personally was fortunate to be part of the global commercial IT organization at Eli Lilly for many years. And back in the early 2000s, we already started there with defining single global processes and single global systems for everything CRM and beyond. And that was an ambitious goal back in the days. I mean, I think Eli Lilly was probably the first one, at least of that size, that attempted that. So there weren't many other examples to look at if that was the right way to go. And it took a lot of convincing to our business partners that by standardizing across business units, across geographies, in using the same processes, in using the same organizational setup, in using the same technologies, it would be to their advantage to be able to leverage data, leverage the technology and the skill to then move forward quite quickly with setting up a more customer-centric organization and set customer-centric capabilities. And I think if you see where Eli Lilly is now, obviously probably not all to the credit of commercial, but they are the biggest pharma company by market capital, right?
Interesting topic, yeah? And I think also from the three of our experience as well, CRM is one aspect that you can standardize. If it comes to marketing, you still see some differences simply because the headcount in one business unit or country is smaller than the other one, where there is some outsourcing playing a role. It's less obvious to standardize, but standardization on its own does not mean customer centricity, right?
No, and I think if I can, I can pick up where Gregory left off just a minute ago. It's about standardization, but only if the company is ready as well. And so it's important to assess what is the stage in the maturity of the actual company. And then also, what is the model the company is set up? Is it centralized approach in terms of marketing? Is the marketing owned, or the communication owned by the countries? Do they have autonomy in launching their campaigns, or do they rely on key messages and content that is produced centrally, and then they just localize and customize? And the process is the same. What do you want to do? Do you want to create centrally led processes based on technologies that are all also centrally owned? And by doing that, you support the countries, but the countries have less ownership about what they produce and send out, but they get a lot of central support, so they need to have less capabilities in the countries, so to say? Or do you want to have the countries have the ownership and then maybe work more with agencies? Those processes look all different. And I think supporting the company by developing the right process internally based on the data flow, based on the technology setup, based on how the content, because we haven't spoken about modular content, that's also a very interesting subject that is probably discussed in all of the pharma companies today, is how can we simplify the content production? How can we make it more digital, more real-time, more accurate with all the processes, the technology that we have in place right now?
Yeah, and to add to that, standardization for the sake of standardization doesn't work. And also standardization of process only out of financial optimization and global process, because you can support it by a global team in a single way, is not the right thing to do. It helps, and some organizations might need to do it, but there are cultural differences. There are departmental differences that need to be accommodated for, especially because the customer has also customer cultural differences across the globe. So the standardization should include a level of flexibility by region or by type of customer or by type of customer need. If you do the standardization too rigid, you will never get the buy-in. People will find ways around it. You will get into things like shadow IT, where countries and departments continue to do their own thing, bypass these standards, and it will never lead to the customer-centric setup that you're looking for.
I think just finishing on the topic standardization, because it's an interesting one, but what I learned in the last years is that a lot of teams or colleagues in pharma companies don't like the word standard, because they want to have flexibility. You said it, they want to be add their own creative touch to things they do and they produce. And even though it's very regulated and content goes to clearance, and they need to have their personal touch and their creativity. So we have set up on one project standard automated campaigns. It was a lot of discussions, but I think at the end of the day, what it led to was that standardizing those campaigns was helping the teams to focus more on the content and the message they wanted to get to their healthcare professionals in that case, than on the setup, on the process itself, and how they were going to look at the data at the end. So it's always the way you look at standardization of things should make sense for the team and make lives easier for them and make the process not as heavy as it might sound.
Fair point. So if you look at that, in the strive and the evolution to customer excellence is such an exercise you just described for standardization, but giving the room for flexibility. Could that be summarized as the main key challenge, or do you see different ones in the, let's say, an evolution to customer excellence?
Is the challenges?
Yep.
I see a couple of challenges. There's probably many more than the ones I have immediately top of mind, but the key ones for me in trying to go down the path of customer excellence, first one is ownership. It's key that this kind of initiative is owned very high up in the organization, owned by part of the people who have the authority, who have the ability to span across the organization in terms of getting the buy-in, getting the support to enable this. And that means people at the level of a chief marketing officer, a chief operating officer, in combination obviously with a CIO, because there's a big IT angle to it as well. And there's other functions, but I definitely would advise to look at that level, because if you go below, you will not get the buy-in. Second, time. This is not something you do in a year. This is something that takes 5 years or more. You need to have a roadmap. You need to cut it up in smaller, digestible chunks, so that during that roadmap, people don't get lost. People don't get disrupted in doing their job, and you continue to have their support and their understanding that you're on a journey. Third, technology. We are in a period of a lot of change in technology. We have the Viva and Salesforce separation, so we're a bit of a state of flux right now on what path to go and what's the pros and the cons of each of those. So not to be underestimated what each of those choices will mean to the bigger picture. And then definitely the regulatory constraint. I mean, in pharma and life sciences, we are much more regulated than many other industries. We cannot just say whatever we want about the product to whomever we want. There's a lot of constraints there. Messages and content always need to be well approved before they can be pushed out into the market. So that tends to slow down some of this shift as well.
Any challenges you want to add, Fabian?
Yeah, I think coming back to Gregory saying the roadmap and that transformation, if we can call it that way, might not be the preferred word because it sounds quite heavy, but there is change evolved in that. And the change takes time. It's not done within 6 months. That's not something that is feasible. Why? And because there is a people component in that. And when we talk about people, process, technology, and data, the people part is very important. And that's where the whole change management in the transformation is a key element and is very crucial. And often we go into meetings with IT, we're selecting a new technology, being it CRM, being it a marketing automation tool, a webinar tool, personalization, new website, etc., etc. It shouldn't be kind of a retrofit to think about the change component in that. Because at the end of the day, technology is not magic. It's going to sit there, and if nobody is going to use it, then it's going to be very nice, expensive technology that is sitting on the computers of people and that nobody is using it. So I think when we look really at the roadmap, it should become this maturity roadmap that is mapped out, where we define where are we today, where we start from, because not everybody and not all the teams in the same company are starting from the same level of maturity, and they are not going to use the same technology. But still, the technology needs to be connected. Customer needs to be in the center of it with the customer 360 view. How are we going to train the right stakeholders internally so that they feel comfortable to use the technology and that it makes their life easier? So for me, that's a really crucial part. And it proves that you can have the nicest technology, you can even have the processes mapped out. But if there is no one to use the technology, then what will probably happen is that they go back and say, let's choose another technology. And then, of course, we will always have work, and that's very nice and it's fine and we like that. But I'm not a fan of doing that. I think we need to invest, or companies need to invest a lot of time in change management and take that very seriously.
Yeah, and many times these kind of initiatives are technology driven, because probably because the IT organization tends to be on top of trends, things that are changing in the market from a technology perspective, but also the use cases that come with it, and therefore tend to see opportunities earlier, tends to see trends and shifts earlier than some of the business partners, rightly or wrongly. But the risk with that is that it becomes a technology initiative only, and that you then have to try to bring along your business partner in implementing it without it being a driven by the need of the market or driven by an immediate business need. So the business partner becomes sometimes secondary in this. And that is a risk, because you don't get the necessary buy-in, you don't get to an optimal implementation, and ultimately you're missing the change management that comes with it, because there is a, feels more like this is a solution pushed upon us than a solution that we helped build for us.
Exactly. And that's that I was thinking about the same kind of flow that you just mentioned. It is about, you can talk to IT and they have the innovation, they have probably different choices of technology that are top notch and that might make a lot of sense. But if at that moment it is all about requirements and not so much about user-centered approach, like what is really asked answering the need of my internal customer, how does this person use the system? When does this person use the system? And what is useful? Then we are missing out on a clear cross-functional alignment, and this internal customer centricity, let's say that way, is going to impact the external experience of the customer directly. There is no, you know, it's not like in 6 months, it's today, because the confusion created, or the even bigger gaps and silos that are created by not bringing the right people around the table when a technology is chosen, to define what are the real needs, to do a user-centered research, to look at the UI, UX before you start even choosing a new technology, and then through the whole process, keeping the business partners close to IT and to operations, etc., is going to at some point fail, and the business is going to lose money. Probably some skills as well, skilled people that will move on. So it impacts every element of the organization, in my view.
Yeah. What I would like to add myself as well, I was a bit surprised that you didn't highlight it yet, but more from an IT technical standpoint, if we talk about people, process, technology, and data, that we also say like the connected architecture, where the data does flow through from system to system to system, to basically also be an enabler. We've seen that, for instance, we talk about technology, sometimes from a European landscape standpoint, it's quite harmonized, quite the same. But if you look at an Asian market, you see different channels, different challenges as well, to implement a same customer-centric approach throughout the whole organization from an harmonization standpoint, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that to me is also part of that 360 view and the enabling all the channels that come with it, the full integration of it, and not to be underestimated sometimes how complex that is already, to have a unique identification of the same customer across all the systems, let aside bringing all that data in a clean and almost real-time matter together so that everybody who needs to work with that customer information has the right information at any point in time.
Indeed. Let's bridge it now. I think also the audience would like to get some advice from us as a, let's say, being knowledgeable on the topic. So giving you both the floor and the opportunity to give some advice to the audience as well, said how to come to this customer excellence approach. Knowing, of course, pharmas, Fabian already mentioned it, have different levels of maturity. So not everyone can benefit from the same advice because they're at the same different level of maturity. So what do you think about, let's say, some advices that you could give?
My advice would be try to think with the end in mind. Try to think with what do you want to achieve by a certain time? What would be the experience that you want to have internally and towards your customers? What is necessary to achieve that and how do you build a roadmap towards that? Try to avoid thinking in siloed initiatives within the organization, even within the IT organization, so that you don't have different teams working on different initiatives that are not compatible or complementary, but aim for a common goal, define that common goal and create a roadmap to that.
From my perspective, I think there are two things. The first is take the time to clearly assess where you're starting from. There are different levels of maturity, but there is also a need for a clear understanding where are we starting from? What are the technologies we currently have? What are the processes in place? How are the people trained? What are their skills, their capabilities, their data literacy, for example? So get that really clear from the start and create that roadmap with having the end in mind, but also thinking that the end goal or the end objective that is through today might change because we're looking at 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. They say that the digital transformation takes 7 years. So that's one thing. Know where you start from. Be very neutral, very transparent. Okay, this is where we are today. Work on those different levels in parallel, people, process, technology, and data. Knowing that technology and data always need to be a step ahead because you can only train people, obviously, on the technology that is there and that has already some functionalities that are working and building the processes with that. And then the second thing I would like to highlight is don't try to be perfect. Don't be agile, try things out. And there, I think pharma companies that are highly regulated, where the content needs to go through a lot of clearance and through a lot of hands of people to send it out, are not as agile maybe as other industries in testing and learning and always trying to get it perfect the first time, is slowing down. And in the world we live today, where everything is going faster and faster and faster in real time, it's very complicated to make that shift and have a more agile company in that way. And it's like comparing a tanker with maybe a speedboat. You can't compare it. It's like comparing a startup with a big company. It's never going to be comparable. We can look at several things that work that could be copied, but every company is different.
Definitely. Okay, thank you. So I think we're nearing a bit the end of our podcast. So I want to, let's say, start wrapping it up as well with a bit of a summary. So on the different aspects that we touched, so we went into, let's say, the barriers or the need for a customer excellence strategy as well. We looked a bit also at the triangle people, process, technology, and how data plays a role in there. Touched also about the change management that is critical and getting everyone on board, all the nodes in the same direction. And last but not least, some key takeaways, some key challenges, and some advices. So would like to thank you both for your advice and the time for those providing those insights. And also, yeah, for all the listeners for attending our podcast and tuning in for our next time, I would say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Eddie.